I'm really delighted to be on Femtech India, and as somebody of Indian origin, to see the Femtech scene and community start to really build on the Indian subcontinent, because, as I said, it's a very fast-changing space with lots of potential for great work.
Welcome to Femtech India podcast. I'm your host, Navneet. We are thrilled to have a doctor, Mirudula Pora, the co-founder and co-CEO of Pappy Health, as our special guest. Pappy Health platform supports employees to underserved areas of health that fall through the gaps all too often. Menopause, fertility, having a baby, women's health, and men's health too. In this episode, we will discuss Pappy's growth, workplace health strategies, and the future of Femtech. Join me welcoming Mridula. Hi, Mridula. Thank you so much for joining me today. And how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me, Navni.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Can you please tell our listeners about yourself and also about what you do at Pappy Health?
Sure. So I've spent my career in healthcare, commercial and strategy roles based out of the UK for the last 15 years or so. My background is I'm from all over the place. It's some time in India, mostly in the UK, and 5 years in the US doing my PhD and my MBA at MIT. But from a professional career point of view, after my MBA, I spent a number of years at McKinsey in the healthcare practice in London, looking at healthcare system redesign, both for the NHS, working with pharma companies and other parts of the healthcare organizations here in the UK. Right. And then I spent a number of years working as a business unit head in the generic pharmaceutical industry, so with Sandoz, a Novartis company. And so I really had a sort of pretty 360 view of what was going on in healthcare and the challenges that it's facing, you know, specifically in the UK, but a lot of them are very common across large parts of the world right now, as we have an aging society, and also a shrinking workforce in some parts of the world, like the UK, where we need to really make sure people are staying productive and in work. And that's really the idea behind Pappy, is that we all face healthcare challenges as part of normal life. Right. But they do impair us. They have an effect on other members of our family or household, and they impair our ability to be at our best at work. So if you think of the kind of things I'm talking about are going through a fertility journey, being a parent for the first time, especially in a sort of nuclear family setup, women going through the menopause, men's health issues where they may not seek medical assistance early enough, or they may just, you know, notice they're putting on a bit of weight. Some changes are happening in their body, but they don't feel significant. What right. Pappy does is allows those working people, funded by their employer, to have almost instant access to healthcare professionals and trusted advice from clinicians, rather than talking with their spouse, their best friend, their siblings, or so on. Go straight to specialist healthcare. And that can be in the form of our content on the app, asynchronous chat, a video consultation, join a virtual event about something that's affecting your life today, do an online course. It all fits around your busy working life as an individual and your family life. It's funded by the employer, free to you, and it's there conveniently and almost instantly for you when you need it.
Right. Thank you so much for such a brief introduction, and I'm really inspired by your mission that what you're building. When we talk about a menopause landscape overall, right, how one can initiate a conversation with someone who's going through menopause journey?
Yeah, I think it depends on which capacity you're initiating that conversation, of course. So it is World Menopause Month at the moment in October. Certainly in the UK, over the last 5 years of the Pappy journey, we've seen the menopause conversation really take off, both in the broader public domain, documentaries on the TV, celebrities talking about it on daytime TV chat shows, in magazines. Increasingly, though, it's come into the world of HR and the business press as well. Because, as I said, we are an aging society. Women over 50 are the fastest growing demographic in the UK workforce. And so it's important for them, for their own well-being, the financial well-being of their families, that they are able to have a discussion around menopause, get the support they need, and be able to access care. Right. But in asking the question, you know, depending on how you're asking it, whether it's in the context of a line manager or an HR manager asking somebody, or you're just concerned about a friend or a colleague, You know, this is a sensitive topic. It is often, has historically been a taboo topic. Right. What we find is that increasingly people are happy to talk about it, but it has to be on their terms and however much they're comfortable sharing. So the best thing is just to be curious, inquire, but really leave the control with them on how much they want to share and how much they feel comfortable sharing with you. And for me, that's why Pepe is so brilliant, right? You can share it completely confidentially on the app through chat. You don't even have to speak to somebody if you don't want to. You can just join an online conversation with your event with your camera off if you like. Right. But you're still giving people access to it in a way that is comfortable for them, because that's probably the most important.
Yeah. And also, like, when you started your journey, the menopause awareness was not so much around, right? So what was the pain points that you identified within the market that made you start on this journey?
Yeah. So we actually started off with early parenthood, because my co-founder and I both had very young children at this point. And so it was something, a problem that we were familiar with. And you see it in the workplace. It's very visible, right?
Yeah.
You know when somebody's expecting a baby, especially if it's a pregnant woman, you know that they're off on leave, they're coming back, etc. So we were talking to HR professionals about this topic at the time. And the menopause started to come really from our clients and prospective clients. And this is what grabbed our they started to sort of just see it on the radar. They said, oh, we've had a couple of our staff mention this. I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
Is this something that you guys do? And after getting this message several times in a row, we just basically said, look, there's something going on here. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But there's something that's worth investigating. So we explored and we really uncovered what, you know, I call it, it's hiding in plain sight.
Right.
Right. All of us will have, friend, colleague, mother, sister, cousin, wife, who is going through that menopause journey. It doesn't take too many degrees. You know, if you are born with female anatomy, you will go through it with 100% certainty.
Absolutely.
You simply have to live long enough. Like, it's not a choice, like pregnancy and so on. So really just the scale of the issue, and then understanding the severity of the issue was the second point. So really recognizing that, 25% of women who go through menopause will experience next to no symptoms or discomfort at all, That's great. Then there's a further 75%, of which 50% will have some inconvenient symptoms. Some of that may affect them somewhat at work, but there are 25% of women who will go through quite severe symptoms, which can really inhibit and negatively impair their home life and their work life. And so for them, it can be, we heard about people leaving the workplace altogether, often without really telling their employer why, taking long time off sick, completely changing their career path, completely changing relationship breakdowns, very dramatic events.
Right.
That can happen to somebody where, because they're not fully in control or even recognizing the effect that the physical and mental symptoms are having on their well-being, their mood, their ability to engage with others, how they relate to other people in their life, and which can lead to some very serious consequences.
No, absolutely. When you're discussing menopause in the workplace, right, how are employees actively working to support employees experiencing in this stage?
Yeah. So it was very interesting. When we first went out to talk to employers, we weren't sure how comfortable employees would even be to, attend a session or to put their hand up to say, we even want to be part of a trial, to their manager. We were really pleasantly surprised by how much people want this support and are willing to voice it, because there are very few alternatives. If you think about the alternatives, which is going to see a doctor, first of all, the mental and emotional barrier to that is high. The time barrier to that is high for busy women who are often juggling family responsibilities, work responsibilities, elder care responsibilities, etc. So they delay, right? They'll live with a lot before they actually think, oh, no, I really should go and see a doctor about this. So there's a lot of latent demand, I'd say, in this space. So people are willing to speak up because they when you put a name to it and they realize this is what's going on and it's affecting me in so many ways, they really want the help. So we were really pleasantly surprised with how much people are willing to talk about it. It's almost like if you give permission, by having somebody, a senior leader, an HR manager, somebody putting on an event or even mentioning the topic and inviting comments, we found that most organizations have had a huge response when they ask their employees.
So when you started that, do you think that awareness bit was lacking in when you started to conduct this workshop?
Yeah. We've seen a dramatic change over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of the level of awareness.
Right.
And the awareness needs to come from multiple sides. Okay. First of all, there's educating the actual cohort who are experiencing the menopause, who are then asking for that support. So first of all, they have to know what the menopause is, which is not a given. It's rarely discussed about. And so where are people actually getting their information? Usually, you know, conversations with friends. Once you hit that age, before that, nobody's talking about it unless you've seen a family member go through it. So first of all, educating the cohort themselves. What is the menopause? The basics. Actually, the menopause is 12 months after your last period. It's a moment in time. There's a period of time both before and after it where you can experience a really wide range of symptoms.
Right.
So educating that cohort and then educating all the other cohorts around them, the younger women, the men in the workplace, the men who are seeing their loved ones going through the menopause symptoms, the people who are managing these women in the workplace and seeing the impact that it's having on their productivity, not just that the impact, but that there's also potential to, you know, improve and help them. You know, the men who are managing these women in the workplace who can A, acknowledge that they are having this impact on their ability to be productive at work, but also that there are solutions to this. I mean, all of these life stages, be it a fertility journey, be it early parenthood, it's somewhat something of a household affair, right? If you have one member of a household who's really struggling with their physical, mental, or emotional health, it has a knock-on effect on everybody else to some degree or another.
No, totally agree on that. You know, like also you mentioned before that you were managing women's health issue in general, right? Which was PCOS, reproductive health, IVF. So I would like to know your insights on how this stands currently. Like how are employees trying to give coverage on these issues?
Yeah, so we've seen sort of waves of awareness go through both the public and also the corporate community. So, like I said, menopause is driven by underlying demographics and a very strong business case, ultimately, to have an experienced, trained workforce that is able to stay and be productive in the workforce for, you know, longer than historically we've ever needed to, on both sides. IVF and fertility benefits. I mean, really what PEPI does is we're a fertility solution. So we can start at the point of, you know, I'm thinking of growing my family. What do I need to know?
Right.
You know, how do I optimize my chances? And if that takes me down a route of infertility treatment, what are my options? How do I deal with it? How do I cope with some of the emotional and, you know, mental health challenges that come with that? And that's increasingly becoming an issue as people are choosing to have children later in life. There are also many different stressors on our lifestyle, which are changing people's fertility rate. And underlying, there are also some pretty significant trends in reduction in male fertility. So 1 in 6 couples will struggle to conceive globally. That's a pretty hefty amount.
It is.
And it happens at the, you know, at a really prime moment in your working career, typically if it's, you know, late 20s or 30s. So, and increasingly, you know, people are choosing to have children, maybe even into their 40s. So, you know, there are a lot of technology and options out there, and even navigating that, if you've never had to deal with it, is completely mind-boggling. So that's, I think, another issue which employers are starting to recognize and wanting to support. And, you know, this is a very emotionally sensitive time. So if you do feel supported by your employer through that, there's a lot of value that you attribute to that. And we're seeing the same thing now happen with PCOS and endometriosis a bit more recently.
Yeah.
But just how prevalent those issues are. You know, it's a bit like menopause. You ask the question and you suddenly go, oh, my goodness, there are so many people who are struggling with this, you know, be that recurring episodes of pain, you know, be that there are issues then that have knock-on effects on fertility. You know, a lot of this is just to do with us being human beings. You know, we go through lots and lots of health challenges. A lot of these are incredibly widespread. Historically, they've not been seen as a problem by employers, But if we need more and more talented, skilled people in the workforce, we need to keep them in the workforce for longer. The interests of both the individual and the business are aligning to make sure people are kept healthy, happy, and being productive in work.
No, absolutely. When we talk about the mental health, right, which is also very related to women's reproductive health issues. So how do you see the interconnectedness between these two?
Yeah, massively. So, I mean, all of the sort of episodes I deal with, like I said, they're highly emotive, and also hormonal fluctuations do affect our mental health because of the physiology, underlying physiology. So something like over 60% of people going through fertility treatment will express clinical levels of depression. Hormonal imbalances during menopause can cause some people to think they have early onset Alzheimer's because they're stumbling and forgetting on words. They may experience heightened anxiety to the point of feeling totally overwhelmed by everything in their life.
Right.
They are a core part of how, you know, poor health manifests itself. You know, if you're a new mother really struggling to breastfeed, that is known to impact your mental health. I think the one thing that's important to say is you cannot treat these mental health and physical health in two separate silos. You have to recognize that they're interconnected.
Absolutely.
And realize that one is, sometimes there are really genuine underlying physiological reasons around it. And so, you know, often we hear a lot of women being directed to antidepressants and our menopause cohort, when actually maybe they should be having a conversation about hormone replacement therapy, which can address some of the psychological issues as well as some of the physical issues that they're experiencing. But they're never given that option. Not that they should necessarily take that option, but they should have that option presented to them. Understanding, even just to be prepared, that this will be a psychologically challenging time, that there is a psychological component, educating people about that, and maybe the individual, but maybe also their spouse, is a really important thing. So we do things like, you know, helping fathers recognize signs of postpartum depression in their female partners is a really important part, because they may not recognize it themselves and may not be able to help themselves. And then I think thirdly, you know, psychological symptoms. I think one thing that's been very interesting for PEPI is to realize that there's a very high correlation between how severe psychological symptoms are of one of these life stages and how impaired somebody feels in the workplace.
Right.
Often, you know, there are of course physical issues going on, but the psychological symptoms can really undermine somebody's confidence in the workplace. If you think about somebody who's a lawyer and they just can't remember, you know, remember their client's name in a presentation, or they can't articulate a particular concept coherently, or they're very anxious, you know, before going into a really critical meeting or presenting to a superior, you can see how this can cascade very quickly. So I think mental health and well-being is absolutely crucial part of the conversation, should not be either swept under the carpet, but also should not be compartmentalized as something separate. It's very, very integrated to the physical health aspect.
No, absolutely. And when you talk about fertility space as well, you know, you also support men's health, right? So I'm like a little curious to know about it, because it's such a great thing that I honestly feel when female is going through her fertility journey and her partner should also be part of it. So how do you deal that? What are the men's services at PEPI Health?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are often considered a women's health company, but majority women, but they're not women specific. So for, like you mentioned, fertility, we do a lot of supporting father, you know, men through both the fertility journey, infertility diagnosis, male factor infertility, which, you know, is of course a thing.
Right. Also,
you know, the relationship itself goes through a lot of stress through the fertility journey. And that actually does cascade through into parenthood if you are ultimately successful. So it's really important to do that. So we do also have fathers on our early parenthood, because it can be a very turbulent time, especially actually, you know, we see increasingly younger fathers who are back in the workplace because of, you know, financial pressures, workplace pressures, career pressures. But, you know, maybe they're not sleeping well because the baby's been up all night.
Right.
Their partner's having a very tough time. Like, they also are going through a big change in their life, becoming a father, and they need support. And they need to have that support, not just with their partner, but each individual in that relationship has different needs that need to be helped. Right. You know, and whether that's helping manage their sleep, their nutrition, their emotional well-being, you know, as well as caring for the baby, redefining some of those relationships, maybe between them, the nuclear family, maybe with the extended family as well. You know, there's a lot going on in their lives. The other thing to mention is that, you know, men are often, the data supports this, often more reluctant to go to a doctor than women are and seek health advice. So our men's health services are not just related to the reproductive journey, but more broadly.
Right.
Men are more reluctant to go and discuss, you know, maybe urogenitary issues, sexual health issues, mental well-being issues. We know that men are often more prone to addictive or obsessive tendencies in their mental health. So what we do with Pepi Health is give them a safe space to have a conversation. Again, confidential, very kind of low touch, low barrier way. You can simply send a message, join a call, you know, read content about it so you can explore more. But we also then have the healthcare professional sitting there behind it to have a more in-depth discussion on any topics that arise and to be able to guide them to seek more in-depth healthcare, more clinical care, diagnosis, treatment, if that's what's appropriate for them.
No, right. That's really amazing to know. Actually, I think you're very one of the few femtech companies, they also have support for men's health as well, which is really good. Yeah. Like, especially if you are targeting fertility segment, right? So yeah, both the absolutely. Partners need support for sure. You're from India and you know, you've done amazing job in femtech sector. And I personally look up to you, and I think there are many women who are building in this space. And do you have any messages for them?
Oh, thank you so much, Navneet. That's very kind of you. Look, there is a huge job to be done. There is so much potential to do some great work here. So, you know, people often ask me, you know, there's so much happening in the consumer space. Do you see it as competition? I say, absolutely not. Because the task is just vast. It's really important, actually, that there are lots of solutions that arise now because they will suit the needs of different parts of the population. Right. Be that geographically, be that different socioeconomic groups, you know, so there is so much need in women's health because it has been so underserved for so long. And there is so little data and research also.
Right.
So, you know, I would just encourage you, if you have an idea or if there's something that you're keen to explore, to just do it. There is a growing community of, you know, entrepreneurs, investors, not-for-profit organizations who are working in this space. I think it's a very exciting time as we're starting to see some of these now really take off at scale. And ultimately, the beneficiaries are, you know, all of us, because all of us have women in our lives or are women ourselves.
No, absolutely. Totally agree on that.
I'm really delighted to be on Femtech India. And as somebody of Indian origin, to see the Femtech scene and community start to really build on the Indian subcontinent. Because as I said, it's a very fast changing space with lots of potential for great work. So thank you, Navneet, but also congratulations on building this podcast and the Femtech India community.
Thank you so much. And it was so great to have you with us today. Hope that our listeners have taken a lot of insights from your conversation. So thank you very much again.
Okay, thank you.